My goodness, thank you, Ben. As always, wonderful. We are so fortunate to have this every Sunday over and over again. No pressure, James. It is good to be here with you this morning. We're taking a look this month at change. I spoke with you last week about pretty much the basics of change, the principle of change. Today I want to share with you about when change is forced upon us. Next week I'll be speaking about change that seems to be hidden, and the next week about initiating change, making change of our own. Now, human life is challenging, and I realize what an understatement that is, but I won't belabor that point. But part of this challenge of human life is the change that seems to be forced upon us, that which we have absolutely nothing to do with. There's that uncontrollable change that happens all around us and in us all the time. It can be things like dealing with the loss of a loved one, having a serious health challenge, facing financial challenges due to loss of income, having to change jobs or move to another state or another country even. As such events will challenge most people, and unless we have ways to deal with these changes, they can have a serious effect on our health, on our relationships, and our overall mental well-being. Now, the question is not what will we do if this kind of change happens, but rather how are we handling it, because it is happening, this change that seems to be forced upon us. I saw a headline in the paper yesterday that says, "France tries forcing change on Lebanon's politicians." So this forced change is happening even on a global scale. If you have a computer and use a computer and use a certain company that starts with an M, you know the kind of frustration that comes from change being forced upon you. You open up your computer one day and it looks one way, and there's an update that comes along, it looks different the next day, and you don't know how to operate it. So this forced change does cause complications for us. And of course, the COVID-19 pandemic that showed up earlier in the year and has created this situation of change and struggle and challenge for us. There's also this uncontrollable change sometimes of stress and illness and aging and death. And for some of you, that sounds very familiar, because I recently did a class about the fact that we don't really need stress, illness, aging, and death in our life, but we haven't quite gotten to the point yet where those things are done away with. So they're still there, bringing up this opportunity for us to address this situation of change. George Carlin said one time, "Just when I discovered the meaning of life, they changed it." Bev and I joke all the time about them moving things around when I think they're on one side of the road and they're actually on the other. And I could have swore the last time I came along they were on the other side. So change happens whether we're aware of it or not. Charles Fillmore said, "Changes are constantly taking place and will continue so long as we live in the consciousness of duality, the yes and no state of existence, which is mortality." So, what do we do as spiritual beings when change is forced upon us, when it at least seems that way? Now, out of the many ways of addressing that and dealing with it, I want to mention three ways in particular that I have seen people dealing with this forced change. One is just to go with the flow. No matter what comes up, you just go right on with it and accept it and incorporate it into your life and don't do anything about it and just deal with the frustration and the inconvenience or whatever else comes up. Just go with the flow. And that certainly probably helps with people's emotional state sometimes and ulcers and so forth. But that's not a real productive way to live, of being completely given over to that unseen forced change that comes into our life. A second way that we can deal with that is to rage against it, to resist it, to push against it. Dylan Thomas, as he was watching his father die, wrote those famous words, "Rage, rage against the dying of the light." And that's one way to do it, is to resist the change, to push back against it. But because of the presence of this change in so many ways, in so many situations, if you take that approach, you find yourself pushing back all the time. You find yourself resisting all the time. And I've seen people who spend all their time resisting and no time living. So that's not a very good alternative either. So let me offer you one more solution, that or one more way of dealing with this perceived force change upon us. And I've seen people living this very effectively. And that is to stand up against the change with a high consciousness. And I'd like to use a phrase that I've started using a lot lately that I've not heard before, and that is affirmative consciousness. Now, in Unity, we teach about affirmations. And in any case, an affirmation is simply a statement of truth. So when we use affirmations, we go around speaking what is true as opposed to speaking what is false. And the implications of that should be fairly obvious to you. So we teach affirmations, using affirmations to empower ourselves and to keep our consciousness in the right place. So when we come up against these changes that are seemingly forced upon us, we can stand up with an affirmative consciousness, a consciousness and awareness that's based on the truth. The foundation of our consciousness is in truth, and where we go with it is in truth. So let's look at some of the components of that. Another one of the things that we teach all the time around here is affirmative prayer. We don't teach prayer as traditional Christianity does, of begging and pleading and bargaining, but we teach affirmative prayer. That is, our prayers begin and end with the truth. And somewhere in the middle, we might include a reference to whatever it is we're praying about. If I have an illness in my body, I begin with the truth that I am perfect, whole, and complete. And in that process of knowing that, I begin to address the illness that is present in my physical body. And then I declare at the end that I am perfect, whole, and complete. That is affirmative prayer. And we can use affirmative prayer when we're standing up against this change that seems to come at us, the change that seems to violate us, the change that sometimes captivates us. Using affirmative prayer, that prayer that is based on truth and ends in truth, is very helpful in doing that. There's also another phrase that I think I've invented called affirmative meditation. I have never heard anybody use that term, but it's the same thing as affirmative prayer. It is meditation that is based on the truth. The images that we use in meditation are based in truth. The feelings that we allow ourselves to receive in meditation are based on truth. What we hold in mind during meditation is based on truth. That is empowering for us greatly, especially when we're dealing with this change that comes at us, that seems to be forced upon us. So we hold our affirmative consciousness through affirmative prayer, affirmative meditation, and another use of this word I've not heard before, and that is affirmative living. And that is living our life based on truth. When I get up in the morning, the thought I have is truth. Someone said one time, they get up every morning and say, "Oh God, morning." And you can say that, or you can say, "Oh God, morning." It makes a big difference in where your attention is based when you get up to live through that day. And as we live, as we live affirmative living, we are very careful about the thoughts that we think. Our thoughts are things. Our thoughts are creative. They have power. And if our thoughts are focused on affirmative living, then our thoughts are going to be based on what is true and not what is false. And that takes practice to be able to do that, to watch yourself through the day without running yourself crazy, but just being slightly aware through the day when the words come out of your mouth and the thoughts that you think are based on truth, or is this based on something that's not. We can make a lot of interpretations about what's going on in the world. We can interpret those things from a positive direction or a negative. We can make a determination of those things either from truth or from what is false. And if we are living affirmative living, then our thoughts are guided by truth. Then there are our feelings that come along as well when we are living affirmatively. What are our feelings like? Do we get caught up in fear? Do we get caught up in anger? Do we get caught up in hate? Do we get caught up in uncertainty? Being able to keep our mind aware of what's going on with our feelings is important. Now, I've heard people who talk about doing away with anger and doing away with fear. And that may be a lofty goal at some point, but as Papa Charlie said, Charles Fillmore, said that as long as we are in this yes-no duality, then these changes are going to be there, and these feelings are going to be there, these emotions are going to be there. And I've always believed that every emotion is appropriate if it's handled in the right way and perceived in the right way. So the problem with anger is when we experience anger from a place of weakness. It gets really nasty when that happens. The problem is experiencing fear as we experience fear from a place of weakness, and it becomes overwhelming. But it is possible, as we are living affirmatively, to experience anger from a place of strength and from a place of spiritual understanding. There are times when the feeling of anger is appropriate in the world, and as long as it is used appropriately, then it serves us. Fear is the same way. Fear serves a purpose for us. It keeps us mindful of what's going on around us and reminds us to do something if it's called for in the moment. So if we experience fear from a place of strength, it can be an ally instead of an enemy as we are living affirmatively. And then there are our actions. What are we doing? If we are living from a place of affirmation, then our actions are based on truth. What I do because it is true, not because it is false. And again, we live from a place of strength when we are able to watch what we do, not in a paranoid kind of way, not in a judging kind of way, not in a punishing kind of way, but just from a place of awareness. Am I doing, what I am doing, is it based on truth or is it based on falsehood? If we are living affirmatively, we know where those actions are. We know what those actions mean. Charles Fillmore said to us, "Thoughts are seeds that when dropped or planted in the subconscious mind, germinate, grow, and bring forth their fruit in due season. The more clearly we understand this truth, the greater will be our ability to plant the seeds that bring forth desirable fruits. After sowing, the plants must be tended. After using the law, we must hold to its fulfillment. This is our part. God gives the increase. You must work in divine order and not expect the harvest before the soil has been prepared or the seed sown. You have now the fruits of a previous sowings. Change your thought seeds and reap what you desire. Some bring forth very quickly, others more slowly, but all in divine order." So one of the ways, and to me it seems the best way for us to deal with this change that is forced upon us, is to stand up with affirmative consciousness and awareness that's based on truth. To use our affirmative prayer, to use our affirmative meditation, to use our affirmative living, watching our thoughts and our feelings and our actions, and face this seemingly forced change with strength, with power, with confidence, with wisdom. And that comes from our spiritual beingness. Now, this change happens. It's out there. It's going on right now all around us. And we have a choice. When we face that change, when we're impacted by that change, when our life is influenced in some way by that forced change, we have a choice of going with the flow and just let it be and give up all control of anything. We can stand up and resist it and push back and rage against it, or we can stand up with affirmative consciousness and live powerfully, live confidently. I want to invite you to take a moment and just be still and let this soak for a moment. Without judgment, without questioning, how do you see yourself living as you face this change that is forced upon you? Know that there are possibilities that you might not have tried yet. There are ways of seeing and understanding that you may not have embraced yet. But know that we can live affirmatively. We can stand with affirmative consciousness and be an agent of change in the world. Now, as you prepare to go into this week, I invite you to take these thoughts with you, these ideas with you, these possibilities with you, this power with you. It was interesting as I was planning, I was working on my notes for this time. I was going to say the last thing to you would be to have a good week. And as I was writing, I wrote, "Have a God week." And I thought, well, that's a nice Freudian slip there. So I will say to you in closing, God bless you. Have a good week. Have a God week.
And Lawrence will follow up these ideas. This is the second Sunday of the month where we still continue to have Sunday sessions. So if you are a part of Sunday sessions, familiar with it, come on in, register, sign up on that link. If you haven't done it before, come on in. It's just a free-flowing half hour or so as Lawrence shares with you his continued ideas about the theme this month of change and anything else you might need to ask about. So go to the website and you will see the promo for Sunday sessions, and it's a real quick sign-up link for that. So we also ask that while you're on the website, you take advantage of that donate button. We hope that you value this opportunity to think spiritual thoughts, to lift your thoughts higher, to join with us in holding you and everybody else up in the highest way. So we encourage you to donate in whatever way you are able to. Some of you enjoy mailing your money in here to the church, and that's wonderful to hear from you that way. Certainly there is the ability with your banking online to bill pay and also use ACH, which costs very little. Bill pay is absolutely free to you and to us. So the donate button is there for your use in whatever way. If you are able, we appreciate your giving. And if you aren't able right now, please enjoy fellowshipping with us. We have many who are dedicated to sustaining unity of Pompano. Because the truth is, God is our source. Through ideas, through the goodwill of others, we are always, always provided with the means to continue. So thank you for your gift, and let us bless it with our offering blessing. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God, of source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack and allow good to flow in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. And ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this good. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it. And it multiplies itself around us. Of course. And so it is. Amen.